This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Micah is one of three individuals that has my cell phone number. He asked for it about a month ago and said, I won't be able to talk to you at any time. And I said, Michael, you're one of few, but we'll talk anytime. Call me.
One of three individuals, and every reporter there at the owners' meetings in Florida kicking themselves with no follow-up of, who are the other two? And is he talking three current players? Is he talking like three all-time players? It has to be three current players, right? Dak's got the number. Mike has got the number.
Zeke. If he counts Zeke as current, I'm sure Zeke has it.
All right, joining us now live from those owners' meetings, and he was right there. Look at that picturesque background, and look at that sun with Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star Telegram, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube here on Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. Good morning. How's Florida treating you?
It's doing good. I had to kind of makeshift this little background here in about 7 minutes. I may or may not have woken up like 20 minutes ago, but we're rocking and rolling this morning. Can't complain.
What are the numbers? Who else has Jerry's number?
Yeah, I was trying to theorize that yesterday. Those are some good candidates. Dak, Zeke. Zeke's got to be one of them, right? Like if we're talking players, Zeke has to be one of them. And then maybe like Irvin. You know, that would probably be my other guess, but I don't know. Yeah, that is a bad part on us by not asking who the other two are.
Deion certainly has it.
I think so.
But should every player have the GM's number?
I don't know.
How many Eagles have Howie Roseman's number?
I don't know.
I don't know how common that is.
Yeah, I don't know how common that is at all.
Okay. Nick, what were you thinking when Jerry Jones disrespected, or are you taking as disrespect towards Micah's agent, David Mulligetta, when Jerry said, I don't even know his name?
Yeah, I certainly took it that way. And I kind of looked around the room to see what everybody's faces was saying, too. That was certainly interesting. You know, it's become a situation over the course of the last couple of months where Jerry and Micah have had this open dialogue. I mean, it goes all the way back to the Cotton Bowl whenever Micah flew in, right? The day after the Orange Bowl, whenever Penn State was in that game. And then went to the Cotton Bowl, met with Jerry, and that conversation went into the night, past midnight at AT&T Stadium. And then that one-on-one dialogue has continued over the course of the last few weeks. It's Micah hitting up Jerry and be like, hey, I want to talk. I'm coming back from Dubai today. Let's chop it up. And they do that. And they've talked for close to 5 to 6 hours is what Jerry said in total over the course of the last few weeks. And sure, they might have the bones or the structure of an agreement in place, and they understand what both sides want at this point. But until they loop in David Mulligetta, you know, you may as well be shooting from the hip. It's just, I think they're going to have to have a conversation with Mulligetta at some point. The disrespect yesterday, I certainly took it that way. I mean, not knowing one of the most important agents in the game's name, I don't even believe that. Mm-hmm. So it was certainly an interesting tactic from Jerry's part.
How much of the negotiating does Jerry actually do with all the players versus, you know, Steven and others?
Yeah, Steven's more so in the nitty-gritty of it. You know, whenever you go back to meetings at the Combine, I mean, Jerry was only there for about 24 hours, and those meetings were, you know, consisted of personnel and meeting with the coaches. And when it came to the meetings with agents and representation, you know, that lies on Steven Jones, that lies on Todd Williams, that lies on Adam Persifka, some other front office guy. Until that check needs to be signed, that's when Jerry comes in, more so as the closer of the front office.
Nick Karras, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, joining us live from Florida here on 105.3 The Fan. Nick, give me a prediction about something that could surprise us about the Micah deal. My theory is that, yeah, Micah's probably going to get the highest paid non-quarterback deal, but he's not going to leapfrog it a lot. And that'll be his way of trying to give the Cowboys a break, maybe win over some of the fan sentiment. That's going to be my prediction, is that Micah doesn't mulligetta the market like David did with the secondary. How do you think this could end up looking?
Yeah, I think the surprise could be how long it is. I think it ends up being a 5-year deal. And that eventually would end up helping the Cowboys too, because, you know, you look at, let's say it's a $40.5 million deal per season over the course of 5 years. That's $202.5 million total. He might get the most guaranteed money at the end of the day of anyone at the position. And, you know, that would certainly help down the line. But when you look at that deal in, say, 2029, he'd probably be out of the top 10 just with the way the market is going, especially at the pass rusher position. I think that's probably the surprise that I think could happen. I think Micah wants that long-term security. Obviously, the Cowboys would want that long-term security with, you know, arguably their best player. I think that's probably what the surprise ends up being as well. It's going to be a 5-year deal and north of $200 million. That's just my prediction.
Oof. Nick Karras from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram joining us here on 105.3 The Fan. Nick, Brian Schottenheimer had referenced it a little bit yesterday that he expects Micah to be involved in the offseason workouts. He expects him to attend. If a deal is not done by, let's say, training camp, for instance, do you think he is present for the offseason workouts? Does he show up for training camp? Or do you think that he's going to say, no, we're going to play this like a negotiation and hold out?
You know, that's fascinating, because as Jerry was talking yesterday, and I was trying to, you know, put every ramble word into my brain and make it make sense. He had mentioned, he was like, yeah, I still want to see some cards play out. I still want to see some things go. I was thinking in my head, I was like, well, they're not going to be playing any games between now and September. So what could those cards look like? And so I asked him in the last 5 minutes of that availability, is like, hey, do you want to see him show up for workouts before you give him this deal? You know, is that something y'all have discussed? Is it, hey, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence, Eric Kendricks, these guys are out of the building. You got to step up as a leader. And until you do that, hey, here's the structure. Here's the bones of a contract. I have it in front of you right now, but I'm not signing this until OTAs, mini camp, blah, blah, happen. And then we can loop in your agent, who, what's his name again? I think when that happens, I think that's when they probably sit down and really get into the nitty gritty of it. And I'm going to give Jerry defense if that is the case, because, you know, Micah Parsons wasn't here last offseason. You can only take action for what action is. And if you're about to give a guy, let's say, 5 years over $200 million, you'd like him to show up for offseason stuff, and you would like to see him, you know, step up in that leadership department. I think if we get to training camp and we've seen Micah Parsons all throughout the offseason, I'd be surprised if a deal is not done before we get to Oxnard.
Nick, Steven Jones talking, making headlines. Brian Schottenheimer talking yesterday. Give us your biggest takeaways from both.
Yeah, for Brian Schottenheimer, he said, basically, he said no jobs are safe going into 2025. He's like, obviously, Dak's our quarterback. But if you look around, like he said, I want the players to be aware, like, no jobs are safe going into this training camp. And I think that's big, especially if you look at a couple of departments that underperformed last year. I think about the safety position, you know, guys like Malik Hooker, Donovan Wilson, you know, they re-signed Marquise Bell and Wanya Thomas. Marquise Bell on a multi-year deal. You know, they're going to make sure that there's competition at that position. You look at the corner spot. Whenever Trayvon Diggs does eventually get healthy, you know, there's going to be some bodies. There's going to be some young bodies in that room. You know, I wonder what the competition looks like at that position. Receiver, obviously, as well. You know, behind CeeDee Lamb, you know, what's going on there? And will they bring in a draft pick, a high premium draft pick, to be able to compete with those guys? That's going to be fascinating for me. And I thought that was really interesting to hear out of Schottenheimer's mouth. He's like, yeah, look, I'm a player's first guy, you know, relationships. But at the end of the day, when we get on the field, your job, it's not written in. It's written in pencil, you know, and it's easily erasable. For Steven Jones, you know, talking about the Micah deal and just kind of how those things have gone about, you know, he was more so the PR answers rather than not knowing the agent's name. But this week I was kind of pressing both Steven and Jerry on the task of Deron Bland, Jake Ferguson. You know, those are deals. Both of those guys are heading into their contract years. You know, is there a reality where they sit down at the negotiation table with them this offseason and talking to both of them? It doesn't sound like that's going to be the case. And you know, Micah's number is probably a prerequisite before you could even start those conversations, at least theorizing to me, because, you know, if you're trying to build out what this cap situation could look like 2-3 years down the line, then Micah's number is obviously a huge facet of that. And you can't really figure out what the Deron Bland contract looks like until that number is in place. Jerry said yesterday that it's not a prerequisite, but I don't buy that.
Did Brian Schottenheimer use Whataburger to back up his chemistry point?
Yeah, certainly. A couple of weeks ago, I had heard that Brian Schottenheimer brought Whataburger breakfast for everybody in the Cowboys HQ, and they got quite a few employees. I'm saying that as a former one myself. They had a they have quite a bit of departments on different floors and different levels, and he spent hours getting to know people in the building that, you know, basically have nothing to do with his job at the end of the day. But it enforces chemistry in that building. It enforces, you know, a little bit more level of authenticity. And, you know, Schottenheimer, he walks the walk. He doesn't just talk the talk. And I thought that was a really cool story to hear out of Cowboys HQ. You know, will it help him get a win in Week 4 against the Eagles on the road and it's a close game? Probably not. But it might help on Fridays when everybody's trying to get lunch and, you know, hey, you can go ahead and skip in front of me in line, Shotty, so you can get back to game planning, you know. So I don't know how big it is in the win column, but it was certainly cool to hear.
Nick Harris from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram joining us here on Sean and RJ on 105 Through the Fan. Nick, did you feel like Schottenheimer or Steven or Jerry and just some of these discussions they gave over the weekend, did it give you any clear sense of what you think the Cowboys want to do at pick 12?
No, not really. If anything, it's kind of continued to reinforce to me that they want offensive explosion in this draft overall. I mean, Schottenheimer said, he's like, we need Steven Jones said, we need an explosive number 2 wide receiver. And, you know, talking with Shotty yesterday, he understands the need for a wide receiver as well. So I'm still leaning heavy wide receiver at number 12. If you had to ask me, that's what I'm betting on today. But let's say that there's a, you know, really talented corner that slips to like 18 and they end up trading back. You know, I could see that as a possibility as well. But if you're asking me, I'm betting on a receiver right now. I'm looking at Teteroa McMillan out of Arizona, Matthew Golden out of Texas, Emeka Ibuka out of Ohio State. I think it lands eventually on one of those three guys.
Do you think there's a chance they move up?
I don't see moving up just because they don't have a lot of draft capital to play with in that sense. You know, they already gave up their 4th-round pick for Jonathan Mingo. If anything, trading back makes way more sense with the picks that they would need on day 2. And they can't really use day 3 capital to move up in the 1st round. That just it would not make sense at the end of the day. So unless they're willing to, you know, use 2026 capital, which would, I don't know. I don't see that happening, though.
Nick, how is the party scene out there compared to Indianapolis at night?
It's fascinating because it's they do these owners meetings at the Breakers in Palm Beach, which, if you're not familiar with it, it's one of the oldest, most historic hotels in South Florida, and it's been here since like the Christopher Columbus days. I feel like he built it, and I feel like I have to pay for like every step that I take in there, and it's just awkward for me. Like I walked into a Cowboys person like within like my first 20 minutes of being at the hotel on Sunday. I was like, hey, man, I'm way too poor to be here right now. Like I feel incredibly. I had a hoodie on. I was like, do they even know what hoodies are? They're going to throw me in the back. And but it was it's a really fascinating place. And they have a reception dinner on Monday night where basically the hotel just funds an open bar and free food for all the media and executives and coaches and everything. And wow. It's a fascinating. It's not as like wild and crazy as Indianapolis can get, but it's definitely like there's a lot of money in this room right now.
Great stuff, man. We appreciate it. Keep up the great work, brother, and we'll have you on again. Safe travels back.
Yeah, I appreciate it, fellas. Have a good one.
Nick Harris, D&M Leasing Hotline, kind enough to hop on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and Zoom.